Have you ever had a moment where you think, man, someone should really do something about this? Then you realize maybe that someone is you. Well, with the help of GoFundMe, you can change someone's life. You could start a GoFundMe to help a friend pay for school, fund that new community space, or help a local kid finally get to that national competition. I've seen this myself. Last year, a friend of mine launched a GoFundMe to help with medical bills after an unexpected surgery. It was incredible how fast the support rolled in. People want to help. They just need a way to do it. And GoFundMe makes it easy. So, do you have a dream, a person, or a cause in your life that could use some support? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. You can be the one who makes a difference. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
Tama Oli, Pop Rock Radio. Estás escuchando Jamie Rock de Pop Rock Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hey, the heavy hits on Zaya. Okay, listen to Pop Rock Radio, made Jamie Rocks.
Hey everybody, welcome to the show. This is the Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. I'm your host, Pop Art Painter Jamie Rocks, and this is the big show. You found it. I sure am glad you did. I have to adjust this a little bit. There we go. Very cool. I was very surprised. A couple weeks ago, I got a very nice email from the fine folks over at MTS Records, Mike Stover and the gang over there, and they had press stuff for our guest today. And it was my first time being introduced to him and his art, his music. And I was just blown away. I got to be honest with you guys. Really, I was just telling him before he came on camera, for those who follow me or know me or read my blog or whatever, no big surprise in the indie folk world. I am a sucker for stories. And I love being drawn into other worlds. And I'm just inspired by it. Everybody's always like, where do these crazy ideas for your paintings come from, Jamie? A lot of indie folk people are to blame for that. That's all. And that's not a bad thing. It gets the gears going in my head. I like that. Very cool. I hope everyone is okay. Somebody left the freezer open this week over the whole country, I think. I haven't seen any at our house. But I just saw on the news last night there was a bunch in Boca Raton, which if I threw a rock, I could probably hit that direction. We're in between Boca and Fort Lauderdale down here. But what I was talking about are falling iguanas. When these cold snaps happen, we get them maybe once or twice a year, the iguanas are up in the tree, and they can't handle it. They shut down, and they fall out of the tree and hit cars and people. And they're not dead. They're just... it's almost like a state of hibernation they go into. But there was a guy, the year before, was driving around the neighborhood, picking him up, putting him in his car. He was going to go take him to the dump or something. I don't know what he was going to do. But he had a bunch in his car, like about 12 of them. And he had the heat going in his car. So his car was nice and warm. So they all woke up, and they were not happy to be going for a ride in this guy's car. They didn't know this guy, and let alone, they probably never been inside a car before. It was disconcerting to them. Yeah, he wound up having to get, it was on the news. I saw it on the news. It was like 12 or 16, it was in the teens amount of stitches. They were not happy to be going for a ride. Yeah, that's the big thing here. And of course, all the local residents here, anytime it gets below 70 degrees, everybody freaks out and bundles up and wears parkas and three pairs of socks and stuff. They're not used to it. They don't know, folks. My wife is born and raised here in South Florida, and she's one of those people that always comments about snow. She's like, it's so pretty. I'm like, yeah, it can be. It can also be a real pain in the neck when it's falling and you're out scraping your car. Yeah, it's no fun. She's never had to experience that. You got to give them a little bit of a break, but they don't know. Anyway, I hope everybody's warm, safe, and got through the cold snap there okay. As I said, today our guest is just a fantastic singer-songwriter, Folk Indie Bob is his professional name. We're just going to call him Bob today. And man, he's got it. He's got it. Bob, how are you?
Doing fine, thanks.
Excellent.
Thanks for having me.
Excellent. Yeah, you and folks, we have, again, big shout out to MTS Records and management. We have all the clickable links in the description below for everything indie, Folk Indie Bob. You can get to all of his websites and social media presence and whatnot. And of course, as always, when you find somebody cool, you can share, man, their stuff. Help get the word out. And that's a good thing. That is a good thing. We work real hard to do what we do, and that does nothing but help. So we appreciate it. I'm speaking for Bob there, but I know anybody in the creative world will tell you the same. We don't do all this, have those late nights for nobody to know about it. That's
no fun that way.
Yeah, it's no fun. No fun at all. Folk Indie Bob, when you were a young lad, did you know that Folk Star was going to be in your future? Was this always the plan?
Not exactly. I always loved music, though, and I always loved to play either drums or guitar. So, yeah, I am surprised now by how it's taken off, though. So, yeah, that part of it is a surprise. But music making is just a part of who I am since a childhood.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Now, you're out of Pittsburgh, PA area, right?
That's right.
Nice. I tell you, I love Pittsburgh. I was up, it was, 15 years ago now, 2010, 2009. I was visiting a friend of mine. Of all things, I had a hernia that I thought would fix itself. Typical guy. Never looked into it. And it woke up, and I was in a problem when I was in Pittsburgh. And I wound up over in, I'm trying to think of the name of it, Shadyside, the big hospital complex.
Hospital, yeah, for sure.
Those guys and gals saved my life. I was in the hospital for 3 months, 90 days. And
wow.
Yeah, it was crazy.
That's bad.
It was quite an experience.
But, 3 days, that's quite a long time.
Oh, yeah. The bad part is you start to get to know people and you see them coming and going and you're like, oh, Mary Beth's gone. I hope it for the better. All kinds of experiences in there. But they really did. They really came through. And so I just got a special place in my heart for those folks. And yeah, it was a deal. Let me put it this way, Bob. When I first went in, the surgeon saw me and everything. And he's okay. We're going to try to fix that. At the very least, we'll make you very comfortable while you're here. You don't want to hear that from the surgeon. I'm like, come on, man. I'm getting out of here. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
And so he's like, I'm glad to hear that. It probably will now, between the two of us.
Sounds like you didn't get to enjoy Pittsburgh.
It was funny because when I went in, it was just turning fall. Beautiful summer, and it was just turning fall. I got out. There's snow on the ground and everything. And
no iguanas here.
No, not at all. I did learn from that experience. I was still smoking in those days, like a dope. And I learned that I could actually survive without a cigarette for 90 days. I was out for about 3 hours before buying a pack, but that was dumb. But yeah, I made it 90 days. That was the longest, I think, for me. Now I started doing this vape thing, and it's so stupid. Any of this stuff's stupid. Tobacco's hard to get over. That nicotine's hard to get over. But I said, this will be better than the cigarettes. I'll just do this for a couple of weeks and then I'll be good. And that was 14 years ago. I just switched one thing for the other. It's dumb. Anyway, so you grew up in Pittsburgh and you had this fascination with music. You started playing as a youngster?
Yeah. I grew up with people playing various things. My dad was an excellent accordion player, and it was a big deal back then. Another uncle played accordion, and my other uncles that had a band together, and so I just gravitated towards playing something, and I chose drums initially, and did that for a long time, but I then realized it was hard to make music unless you're with other people, and sometimes that's hard to do. So I picked the guitar up and started playing. And but a musical family, always had records on, and the old hi-fis everybody had on in their living room. And,
you know,
spinning records. And in the kitchen, there was always a radio on.
So absolutely.
It was a great time for music, too, because it was the late 60s and 70s. And to me, that's like the golden era of songwriting.
You had, I grew up in Detroit, and so, of course, Motown and all of that was just constantly on. My father was, he didn't play anything. He didn't have any talent in that field. He was a mechanical engineer, but he loved music, and it was always on. It was always on, so much so that I heard so much of it. It would be funny. He'd have like grown-ups over or whatnot, and they'd have their music on. And I'm like, oh, this is such and such from Love. When he was in the Zombies, it was really, and I would know all this trivia. And I'm a little kid, and they're going, how do you know? It's, I'd heard it so much. And they're like, how do you know who Charlie Rich is? I'm like, he's the black country singer. Are you kidding me? You know what I mean? I just knew it all. Yeah. I've never been in a band. I've never had that talent. I've always been very jealous of people, my musician friends, with what they're able to accomplish. And I've said this before, but it's such a true statement. What I'm trying to say, folks, I don't know if this is the way for women. I know for guys, it is for men. You can ask any man anywhere. First time you had a for real kiss with a gal. A for real, not your Aunt Tilly giving you a peck on the cheek, but a kiss. What music was playing? They'll know, it's burned in their brain. Now, paradoxically, if you ask them, hey, what art print was hanging on the wall behind you? Nobody has a clue. That music's where it's at.
Too bad for you,
I'm telling you. Might be that way for women, I don't know. It's definitely for guys. Also, to add to that.
Have you ever had a moment where you think, man, someone should really do something about this? Then you realize, maybe that someone is you. Well, with the help of GoFundMe, you can change someone's life. You could start a GoFundMe to help a friend pay for school, fund that new community space, or help a local kid finally get to that national competition. I've seen this myself. Last year, a friend of mine launched a GoFundMe to help with medical bills after an unexpected surgery. It was incredible how fast the support rolled in. People want to help. They just need a way to do it. And GoFundMe makes it easy. So, do you have a dream, a person, or a cause in your life that could use some support? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. You can be the one who makes a difference. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
Usually music kind of stunk after that song. They're like, oh, it's not Led Zeppelin, is it? We know why you're saying that. Led Zeppelin's burned in your brain, buddy. We got it. But there might be a folk indie Bob song burned in somebody's brain. That might have been going on. Might have been an art school party, and that was on the high. You never know.
Who knows?
I'm telling you, you got some bangers. I love them all. The first one I listened to, I think, was the Hope one. Which is called, let me see, I got my notes here. All My Hope.
All My Hope.
Now you think by reading that title, that's going to be an uplifting, I'm lifted. And the song's kind of different, yet you've got that in it, but you also got some other stuff in it too, which surprised me. I was like, I'm going to like this. We got a twist here. So that's a good thing. I love that in art.
It's a tribute to inner strength. So I was inspired by some people around me who are exhibiting great strength in overcoming the ordeals they're going through. And the song does have a hopeful message. But I actually touch on how hard it can be sometimes.
You know? Oh, absolutely.
You know, sometimes all your hope does lie in your hands because nobody can help you except you.
Yeah, and that's It's good to figure that out as soon as you can, because I know some people that are older that have still not figured that out. And you can tell, but no, that's what I was telling somebody. I do some mentoring. I don't teach people how to paint, but in their art business, I do some mentoring. I got some people in that world that I give advice to. And they were going through some stuff. And I said, well, I'm not trying to sound cheesy. Everybody has peaks and valleys in their life. They do. We've all been there and we'll be there again, I'm sure. But you have to remember, man, those valleys sure do make the peaks good, all the better. You got a frame of reference now. When things are going good, you're like, man, things are pretty good.
Yeah, that's the bright side of the bad times.
Yeah, but sometimes it's rough. There's been many times, folks, and take this for what you want. I have thought, this is it. This is the end. I can't go any further. I can't do it.
Yeah.
Then I got up and did it. And you have to.
That's when all your hope lies in your hands.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You bite the bullet and you don't smoke for 90 days.
Yeah.
I was worried about that. But that experience, I've never been a religious fellow per se. Now I'm old enough to know, because of experiences like this, that I don't know everything and I could be wrong on things. I came out of one of my, because I had a bunch of surgeries. I came out of one of them. I'm in the ICU and they have my hands, because I had this stuff like in my mouth and like down my throat and stuff. And I was trying to pull it out. So they put my hands in these, they look like a ping pong paddle. They were like locked in there, so I couldn't grab anything.
Yeah.
Hard.
Yeah.
It was a bad scene. Huh. And finally, I got my hands out, and I asked the nurse to bring me a pad of paper and a pen. And I'm like, am I in hell? Was I wrong about that? And she laughed, and she said, no, you're in the ICU. You're fine. We're going to get you out of here soon. And yeah, when you think things are darkest, not making light of anybody's situation. I'm just saying, don't give up all hope. They tend to work out as they're supposed to.
Yeah, sometimes we have no choice.
That's true. That's very true. That's very true. And you've got the voice to tell those tales. You know what I mean? I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I was talking to somebody the other day, and we were talking about folk music and old country, Americana and whatnot. And I said, I thought I knew some lonely situations. I thought I'd had a pretty good beat on that. Johnny Cash's little guitar cadence of a far-off late-night train clicking along, completely indifferent to you, that's pretty lonely.
Oh, yeah. That's hard
to beat. And I said, I don't know if I could paint it, but I sure did listen to it. Yeah, so it's very cool. Let's play a track. We've got four of them we're going to go through. What should we play first? We've got The Candy Wrapper, Crystal Ball, All My Hope, Four Leaf Clover. What should we hit people with first, Bob?
I think since we talked about it, we can start with All My Hope. And the next of them will be a little more upbeat. This
okay.
one's kind of an introspective and mellow type song. And so
yeah, I love it. I love it.
With what we've been talking about.
Yeah, this was the first one I heard, and I was just blown away. Here it is, everybody. Here it is. This is Folk Indie Bob. Check this out. All My Hope. Here it is.
Just let me go. Life has tried to crush me with its weight, but I will grow back like a leaf. There's much more strength to me than meets the eye, and I will show myself to me.
And we're back, everybody. We're back. That was All My Hope. Now, let me ask you, Bob, these are all available, right? These are all out there and people can pick them up and stuff. And
yeah, they're all out on Spotify, and nice. That's the best place to access them right now. And all the streaming networks, they should be up on.
Very cool.
And everything's available through my website, bob.com. And
that's nice. And folks,
shop for everything I have available.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Folks, people ask me all the time. They're like, you got these fantastic music guests and stuff on the show. Where is the best place? Streaming is great. Streaming sites are fantastic. I'm not going to let the cat out of the bag. Everybody's got Google. But when a streaming site sells a track, there's a pie, a pizza, if you will. And the streaming site, they get the big piece of the pizza usually. And it's, in my personal opinion, I would consider it fraud or highway robbery and or something like that for what the artist actually gets. It's great. If you're in Mozambique, you're in Spain or someplace and you can't get to a show, to that merch table to pick it up, Bob, go to Bob's website. If you can buy directly from the artist, and this is any artist, not just Indie Folk Bob, but any independent artist, buy it direct from them. They get a lot more of that pizza, is what I'm saying. And we're lucky enough to have access to it. Very cool. And it's different.
Have you ever had a moment where you think, man, someone should really do something about this? Then you realize maybe that someone is you. Well, with the help of GoFundMe, you can change someone's life. You could start a GoFundMe to help a friend pay for school, fund that new community space, or help a local kid finally get to that national competition. I've seen this myself. Last year, a friend of mine launched a GoFundMe to help with medical bills after an unexpected surgery. It was incredible how fast the support rolled in. People want to help. They just need a way to do it. And GoFundMe makes it easy. So, do you have a dream, a person, or a cause in your life that could use some support? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. You can be the one who makes a difference. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
And the holiday season's upon us and whatnot. Buy them a track, man. You don't have to just, you got their email. Just write, make you a little cut. My wife, we have this giant bag of Christmas wrapping. and there's bows and ribbons and all kinds of stuff. She keeps all that. And in it are a bunch of these, I don't know what we'd ever use them for, except this, are these little bitty envelopes, like yay big, a little, with a little nice card in there, about business card size. I buy somebody a track, I put it in the envelope, and I'm like, open your email up, and happy Christmas. I put those in a stocking. I slip them in. And I put some thought into what I'm doing about the person. I thought you'd dig this. And it just sets you apart. You're kind of James Bond now. It's not the same old. I do put people oranges in their things sometimes, too. Those, I admit it. No coal, but no, tracks are great. Cheaper than a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Now, when I hear, Bob, when I hear a track like All My Hope, well, that's a perfect track. It came, Bob woke up one Tuesday morning, he wrote this, it came out, didn't even need to go to mastering, it was just perfect. As a non-musician, that's what I hear, the end result. Same thing with my paintings. People, they think I just, oh, he just knocked it out from this morning. What they don't see is me wanting to throw this in the street and jump up and down on it because it fought me. They don't know that, and it's not their fault. But musicians, it's the same thing, I would think. I think that sounds, because it's so good, I think it's, that had to be an easy one.
No, it's a picking style I wasn't familiar with, and I tend to write a lot of things I can't play, and so I have to learn them after I write them, and that's where the real work comes in. The writing is a joy, and I love that the best, but after you've got a song put together, then the work starts getting up to performance level, and beyond that, taking it into the studio, and that's a whole nother. Not perfection, I suppose.
You got to get it right. You never get names on it. Yeah. I get that. Last night I did a show, and everybody's talking about the Northern Lights right now, and the last time it happened, the daughter of a gal I went to high school with, one of my oldest and best friends, she had taken a picture. They live up in Michigan. They'd taken a picture of her parents' house during the Northern Lights. And so she got a hold of me on the down low, and she's grown. This woman's grown. But she said, hey, can you paint this for a Christmas gift for my folks? I'm like, yeah, I can do that. And I put a lot of women in my paint, and I'm like, I won't put any women in it, I promise. Women up to no good. There's going to be no detectives. It'll just be what you want. Okay. So I'm working away on this thing, and the lights were fighting me. Everything else, I had the buildings, the silhouetted background, everything. The light sources were right. Everything just went like clockwork until it came to painting the actual the whole point of the painting.
Right.
And what it is, I was used to painting, and for 21 years, I've been painting professionally. Very hard outlines, very almost comic book looking stuff. Subtle blending is not my forte. And it wasn't working. And I was getting mad. The dog's under the kitchen table. She's left the workshop. I am just in here cursing up a storm, and I'm not, my wife comes in. And she goes, what's the issue, Jamie? What is the problem? I've had to repaint this 5 times. She goes, I don't want to offend you. Do you want me to take a go at that? And I'm like, yeah, but just this, because I got everything else perfect. She goes, okay. She sits down. She's a makeup artist. So, of course, she's good at this kind of stuff. To make it look beautiful. She made the lights look beautiful. But I sat here, I got a little stool over here, I sat on it, and I'm just watching real close. She said, what are you doing? I said, I'm taking notes, and I'm learning how to do this, so I will know. And it's funny, because my wife pointed this out. She goes, ever since that happened, your next 12 paintings had a lot of blending, a lot of shit. You just kept doing it and doing it.
Yeah.
Now you're real good at it.
You picked up a new style along the way.
Yeah. That's
what I was talking about. Yep.
Exactly. I hear what you're saying, man. Sometimes I felt like I was in school.
It's great when your art forces you to do that rather than just pulling out of the air randomly. It's more natural when you're working on something that you need that style for and it comes together.
Yeah, it's great now. It wasn't then. And the check had already went in the bank. So I...
There you go.
I'm just like a bank. I like money coming in. I hate it when it goes out. It's very true. Usually it's already spent. That's the reality of my life. But yeah, you got to do that. And that's the cool thing is I look at that as a blessing now because like you said, I learned something new. It keeps it interesting. Here you are doing the same thing with your music. That's cool. That's cool to me, I think. Very cool. Let me know you play. Well, I'll save that question for the next one. Let's play another track whilst we're doing it. Which one do you want to go with next? The Candy Wrapper, Crystal Ball, or Four Leaf Clover?
Well, let's do the Candy Wrapper. That's the one that we have that's a really good response to. So
it's a great track.
Yeah, let's do it.
That doesn't surprise me in the least, hearing that. Here it is, everybody. Check this out. This is Folk Indie Bob, Candy Wrapper. And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. That was the Candy Wrapper. That's a great track, too. I really enjoy that one. And that's that. We were having a discussion, not to get too much behind the scenes, folks, before we came on camera, and Bob was filming it. Now, there's an old version of it that's out floating around and whatnot. Make sure we want the, because he went back and he made some changes. And I got to tell you, as an artist, I look at paintings sometimes and go, oh, I need to, I'll see something that I didn't see before it went out. And I'm going,
yeah. Well, they say artwork is never really finished. It's just when you decide to stop.
So true. I had this conversation with my wife, and I was looking at some old paintings from 2009 or something, just way down.
Have you ever had a moment where you think, man, someone should really do something about this? Then you realize maybe that someone is you. Well, with the help of GoFundMe, you can change someone's life. You could start a GoFundMe to help a friend pay for school, fund that new community space, or help a local kid finally get to that national competition. I've seen this myself. Last year, a friend of mine launched a GoFundMe to help with medical bills after an unexpected surgery. It was incredible how fast the support rolled in. People want to help. They just need a way to do it. And GoFundMe makes it easy. So, do you have a dream, a person, or a cause in your life that could use some support? Don't wait for someone else to bring change. You can be the one who makes a difference. GoFundMe is the world's number one fundraising platform, trusted by over 200 million people. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com.
Down the chute from where we're at now, I've sold thousands of paintings since then. But I'm looking at them and going, I really need to repaint this. And I won't even charge the people. I'll just send the painting new, the way it should be. Mm-hmm. But absolutely not. You're not doing that. Those people paid you money for, they loved that painting, the way you did it. They spent their hard-earned money, folding money on that. You're not going to insult them because you don't like it or whatever. They loved it, obviously. Mm-hmm. And save that energy for the next one. And I'm just like, right. She's always right. She's always right. So yeah, I held off on doing my big plan there. But I get it. I get it. Now, I haven't heard, I don't think, the one. What's weird about musicians, you probably, and you've probably experienced this so many times, you'll hear something, and you're like, oh, I need the chord, this chord there. But as an audience member, we have no idea what you're talking about. It all sounds good to us, but musicians have that ear.
You're never supposed to point out your mistakes on stage while you're up there. You're supposed to just keep going, and most of the time, the audience doesn't even notice. It's something musicians are particular about. But most people are just going with the flow. And
a lot of people, like guys and gals that I know that play guitar are like that. Like, they can pick up a Les Paul, tell you the year. They're like James Bond with a glass of wine. They're like, oh, this was a blah, 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 grown on the slope of... I don't hear any of that. To me, that all sounds exactly the same, but I guess it was a 1969 Les Paul or Fender Stratocaster. Sounds like a guitar to me. Good hearing. That's their job. I get it. I'm that way. If we go to an art gallery, I'll walk. My wife says, you look like the Terminator looking for somebody. You just walk in front of every painting and you're scanning it. I'm figuring out how they did that. Oh, okay. Maybe I'll want to do that trick in something I'm working on, trying to learn. But yeah, musicians got to be like that, I imagine. When you listen to music that isn't even yours, you're like, I should have done that.
It's nice to have influences. Plays a part in any type of artwork.
I imagine like early 70s, that singer-songwriter era was coming up. That's early Billy Joel and Springsteen was coming on the scene and whatnot. Were these all influences you had at that age?
Oh, yeah. Starting in the late 60s, like Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young. Oh. They were super writers, and they also made it such a beautiful sound. America, I go gravitate towards that sound a lot in the writing. Just that mellow, you know, yeah. Now that I'm older, it's where my brain is and my tastes are. And it's nice to have that smooth, easy rock feel.
Absolutely.
And yeah, so there's those couple. And then I had a lot of angst in some of my writing, and also people like Pete Townsend and Paul Weller of The Jam and Joe Jackson. These were some of the 80s influences as well. Like once I became a teenager and a young adult, I got off of what my family was listening to, which was all that early 70s and 60s stuff, and got into my own tastes.
Yeah, but, The Jam. Yeah, they were a great band.
Yeah, all that high energy angst.
Absolutely. When I first heard them, I'm like, this reminds me of black music. Again, I grew up in Detroit. It's got that, when they weren't heartbroken, my dad has a much better, he was in the Marine Corps during this period. And he says, man, he goes, I can't remember which week. They didn't, all the recruits, he was an MP out there in San Diego, and they would give the recruits all their letters from home on, I don't know what it was, week three or something. They had no news from home. Yeah. And in those letters were a bunch of Dear John letters. And you could just hear the guys crying and heartbroken at night and just howling at the moon almost. I'm like, that's terribly depressing, Dad. But he goes, yeah, we didn't mess with it. There wasn't any fights or anything on those nights. But everything was pretty calm, just sad. Sounds like a country song. That's the world. And then what, the next day? It didn't last, because then they were all shipped to Vietnam, and they had that to look forward to. I'm like, geez, please. Crazy.
Yeah, a lot of people relied on music for those hard times, and they still do. So
absolutely.
That's where my music comes in. It touches on things that people have already felt and been hurt by or overcome, and or if they haven't yet, they probably will at some point in their life.
Oh, man, I'm telling you.
Yeah, I've experienced a lot of stuff, and so.
So you got good rocket fuel.
A large bank of,
When I was a kid, I think I was about 14 years old or something like that. It's hard to remember these days. I'm turning into an old man now. But I went through my first big heart. Oh, those gal, she was dynamite on a Saturday night, and we were gonna get married someday. That was my brain thinking. Of course, it lasted about 3 weeks, and I was beat up inside, man. Nobody had ever felt like I had felt. I thought, it was rough.
You were like the candy wrapper. You got thrown away.
Well, I was walking around the house, all long-faced and hurt. My father was like, what the hell's wrong with you? What happened? So I told him my tail woe. He just shook his head. He went over to his hi-fi. Because I had a hi-fi in my room, but he had the one that none of the kids were allowed to touch. He was one of the reel-to-reel players.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that was high-tech back then.
Yeah, he had the hisses. But he went over and he got out an album. He goes, I want you to listen to this. I said, who's this? He goes, this is Hank Williams.
Oh, boy.
Williams has felt what you're feeling, right? I'm like,
oh, yeah, he has to his song for that.
Yeah, so I listened to a couple of them. I'm like,
a lot of artists, that is a great fountain of songwriting water, if you will. There's so many people that are drawn from that experience.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. The cool thing, I'm friends with a guy who's in a modern, very much contemporary band. They have a DJ in the band and all that. Lives in Sweden and plays big electronic music festivals and laser beams and fog machines, that whole thing. Mm-hmm. But we were talking, he's a pretty good friend of mine, and I asked him, I said, how do you, because you can write some really good hit songs. And he goes, look, I'm going to tell you a secret. If you can play it on an acoustic guitar, like the one you got behind you there, around a campfire, and it's a banger, it's a hit, then it's a hit. If you need all this other nonsense, it ain't a hit.
It's pretty hold up that way. I agree with that to a point. Now, some of the technology has come along, though. People have really mastered it and turned it into a form of instrument. So all the sampling that I give credit to those people, I don't have the patience to sit in front of the screen and do all that and cutting and pasting. That's just not my thing. But
indie folk, Bob, sometimes I have a hard time listening to it, let alone making it. I can't even imagine.
But it's popular and it's creative, so.
It is. There's certain things. I'm not big on, everybody says, sampling, it's just theft. A lot of times it isn't. They have to get permission. They got to buy the rights. It's a cash outlay.
But the way they do it, hip-hop's a good example of that. And it's not just sampling, more like the effects and the electronic sounds that they get. And Pete Townsend was actually a pioneer of this in rock music. He was one of the first people that sat down with all these wires and giant consoles and everything that needed all this attention. And now we have it all on our phone.
It's on the phone or a laptop.
Basically, a room full of wires and come up with the intro to Bob O'Reilly is a good example with that synthesizer.
It was rooms of, it looked like Dr. Frankenstein's laboratory sometimes. It was a wall of stuff.
You're just sitting in a wall of wires,
And how do you take that on a stage and then tear it down? Yeah, it's crazy. Foreigner was like that. I remember going to Foreigner 4, the concert. My older sister took me. She was a big Foreigner fan and didn't have anybody to go with. I don't know. But I wound up going. I think I was like, 11 or something. I was a kid. I liked it because it had all, I called it space noise. It had all these keyboard parts and it sounded like Buck Rogers to me, Flash Gordon or something. But
Kansas, I think the first album I ever bought was Kansas.
Oh, yeah, Kansas.
Point of No Return. And they had all the keyboard stuff. I didn't end up playing keyboard, but I was influenced by that.
I remember when Van Halen dropped Jump and everybody was like, all of my friends were all rocker guitar players. There wasn't a bass player among them at first. And I remember they all wanted to start a band. I'm like, there's 12 of you. At the very least, you're an orchestra and somebody's got to play something else. You can't all play guitar. And, we want to rock. And I'm like, bass players get girls too. You figure it out. Anyhow, but they all lost it with Van Halen. They were like, Eddie Van Halen, the Mozart of the guitar, is playing keyboard. I'm like, it all is about finger movement, guys. And
there's a lot on there, too. So
probably good at the trombone.
I'll have to do it someday. I always say when I run out of ideas on the guitar, I will go to the piano. But I haven't had to do that yet. But
one of the things I like about indie folk music is it's got relatability. That's a given. You're going through the may not be exactly the same thing, but I get where you're coming from and situations. I can wrap my head around it. But also, it's usually simple.
The car from Carvana's here. Well, will you look at that? It's exactly what I ordered, like, precisely. It would be crazy if there were any catches. But there aren't, right?
Right. Because that's how car buying should be. With Carvana, you get the car you want. Choose delivery or pickup and a week to love it or return it.
Buy your car today with
Carvana.
Delivery or pickup fees may apply. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at Carvana.com.
It gets weird. I've seen some younger indie folk people. I'm like, what's that barefoot guy on stage doing? He's doing a washboard, Jamie.
I'm like,
tell him to wear a shirt under his overalls next time. What the heck is this? And then they do some crazy song, Pink Floyd, Rockabilly Pink Floyd or something. And I'm like, that shouldn't work at all. But it's a toe tapper. I'm digging it. Give me another one of those $16 beers over there. That's usually where they play. It's so true.
For myself, that's what I like. I like the simplicity of
the
guitar. And I like the craftsmanship of it becoming good without any accompaniment. Although I would like to add some accompaniment live at some point, but for the audience's benefit. But right now I'm building this skill level and this craftsmanship of sounding good and moving people with just my fingers and my voice and this piece of wood. So it's really stripped down.
I love it.
At the moment, like when we took it into the studio, you hear the results and these songs we're going to be playing, and we've already played. And I do have to give a shout out to my producer, Mike Hickman. Mike is based in Pittsburgh here. He has Electric Eye Studios, and he is responsible for all of the instrumentation on the album. I would go in and play my acoustic guitar track and sing, and we work together on the percussion, but everything else you hear is Mike. He's like a one-man band. He's got the guitar parts, the bass, the keyboards, he has some cello in there, he has ukulele in there. So I have to give a shout out to, Mike Hickman. He's like a 50-year veteran of
music. That's awesome. How did you find a good producer like that? Just asking around, or did it just?
Fortunately, he's a member of our songwriter group here in Pittsburgh. We have the Pittsburgh Songwriter Circle. It has, at one point, had over 200 members, but I think they're trying to pare down the ones that aren't active. But it's still a good amount of people, and we meet once a month. And every year, Mike puts out a compilation. He runs the studio, so he will compile songs from whoever wants to sign up and go in and record one. And then we have a party at the end of the year, and everybody plays their song. And nice. It's just a nice thing. That was my first experience with recording, and that's the way I met him. And then I decided I'm just going to keep working with him because
I read a book one time, and somebody in it, it was about David Bowie, and somebody asked him, they're like, how do you get all these hits and everything? And you always sound great. And he goes, look, man, when you hire the best, you're more apt to get good results. That's my advice.
Not everybody can do everything. So I like to focus on the writing and my skill level, like I talked about, and let the pros like Mike take care of the rest.
The great thing about skill level, I was just going on about this yesterday, is skill level is based on repetition. The more you do something, the better you get at it. You can ask any athlete, any musician, that's the key. That's the secret. Any painter? I get better at painting. I'm like, draw 3 hours every day.
Athletes, same thing.
You got to do it.
You have to build.
There's no shortcut.
I use the word craftsmanship because it's really what it is. You're building a skill level where you are actually very competent in what you're doing.
Exactly. And I know for myself, that's what I have so much respect for you, Bob, is, and musicians like you. I know what it's taken me to get to the point I am in my little world. Been a lot of pain on canvas to get to that point. And I still got a ways to, you'll never achieve perfection. That's the other thing. You're doing all this work, you're practicing and everything. You can get close, but you're never going to achieve. When you do, you'll probably fall over.
There's rare moments, but not on a consistent basis.
Right. Where you just sit down. And the thing is, though, but you do get better at it. And that's with anything in life. If you're baking bread, if you're changing tires or changing somebody's, the more oil you change, the quicker you can do it, the better you can do it. Why you don't forget to put the plug thing back in, because you've got experience doing it. And that's a big secret that a lot of people, I think what it is too, is a lot of these kids, and I don't want to sound like an old man, all these kids today, but a lot of people, they don't worry about craftsmanship. They're not in it for that. They want to be famous. And I'm like, go rob a bank. There's easier ways.
Of the technology I was talking about, you can sample it and use it for your own creative purposes, but there are people who just rely very heavily on it, and maybe they can do better. Maybe they can be more creative if they just didn't rely so much on the technology.
Oh, absolutely.
And our culture, too, it's all about instant gratification. And I don't blame the kids online and jumping on Instagram and trying to be a star. And that's just a natural thing that I probably would have done the same way when I was a kid. It's a fun thing to do.
Well, and
while you're seeing a few people watching you.
You get that positive feedback, that dopamine.
But they don't realize the amount of work that it will actually take to come up with something.
Every time I hear a modern piece of music and somebody's on auto-tune, all that says to me, and it doesn't even sound good. It sounds like a robot singing to me. You know what I mean? I can definitely tell. Mm-hmm. And I don't even have trained hearing of a musician. But all that says to me is somebody didn't have the wherewithal or the time to sit down and practice their singing for a year or 6 months, whatever. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You got to get that down, baby.
Where that's going to go, because there's all the enhancements and AI is writing music now, and I don't think it's advanced yet.
No.
But who knows where it'll end up. I choose to do my own thing. I don't get up in arms about that.
I don't either.
Happen whether we're mad about it or not. That's why I focus on my live performing. There's nothing better than standing in front of people and moving them with this piece of wood and my voice.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, that's what I choose to focus on. I know all that stuff's out there and other people are using it, but
it's
going to be bald.
If you get into a good groove, man, you can, in my world, it's very important to have a lot of a big track record, not necessarily inventory, but people can look and say, oh, that guy's painted a lot. There are all the paintings. And I get that people use AI and digital stuff to try to, I need 50 paintings out right now. And I'm go paint 50 paintings and take a month. I have practiced so much. Everybody always asks me, they're like, you're in all these art shows, Jamie. How, you know, do you seek those? No. I know people and they say, we need another 20 paintings in this art show. Let's call Jamie because the art show's in a week. And they tell me what the theme is, and you know, 3-4 days later, I show up with a big bunch of paintings and rarely sell them in these art shows, to be honest with you, because I can sell them quicker myself. But it's not a bad place to be. But you can build up if you just work. Let's, when one of those calls come in, I know for the next 3 days, I'm on 2 hours of sleep at night because I got to get this stuff done, especially if checks are involved. But my wife likes her shoes. What can I say? My weirdo dog likes expensive food because I wanted to be a big shot and get this fancy dog, and should have got a mutt, should have got a hound dog, but it would just be crying all the time. Folk Indie Bob, it would just be crying.
Oh, yeah, right.
All the
time. Yeah, of course.
Our next track, folks, we're going to play is, we've got Crystal Ball and Four Leaf Clover left. What should we go with next, Bob?
Well, we'll say Four Leaf Clover for last. Let's go with Crystal Ball.
Okay, here it is. Check this out, everybody. This is Folk Indie Bob, Crystal Ball.
Little ball, haze crazy now will become of me. But please don't let me see for never, 'cause I don't want to know the pain that we wait for, crying and the trying. Look inside and just hope to catch a little smile.
And we're back. We're back, folks. Amazing track. Now, Bob, I like this track because it reminds me of my house. My wife is one of those, she's never been to California, but she's got a little California in her because she's into all these crystals and stuff. She has a crystal business. That's her side business. And like markets, and she sells crystals. We've got so many crystals in my house, I feel like Superman in the Fortress of Solitude. A lot of crystals, baby. She's into them. But Crystal Ball, what inspired this track?
It was basically coming again from a place of hurt and not being unhappy and not really wanting to see the future because of what it might hold. So
might be darker than today. Yeah.
Right. There's a crystal ball and I don't want to know is what I said.
Right. Haven't we all been there before?
Yeah. So that's why I went with that one.
That's awesome. One of the things I really dig about your music in general is, but especially with indie folk music, is you write a song and you have a particular point of view in making that song. Coming up with it, the lyrics, the music, everything. And you know what that song's about. You were there when you created it. But 1,000 other people can listen to that song and they put their own, they relate to it on a totally different story. You know what I mean? And
they can take other things out.
You haven't wrote one song, you wrote 1,001 songs. Really, because those are all different songs for each of those people. And I think that's pretty cool. I think that's good art, you know what I mean? And I was thinking about that one day, and the next time somebody asked me what does that painting mean? I'm like, you tell me, you're looking at it.
Yeah, that's better. That's good approach.
I'm more interested than that. I know what I was thinking about it.
It's fun to hear what they think.
Exactly. You're like, I don't know your wife Ruby and why she's going to town, but she probably shouldn't be. That's not what the song was about. There's an inside reference there for anybody who knows old Kenny Rogers. I just gave the game away, but that's a sad song. That's a terribly sad and depressing song.
Yeah.
I like that. Crystal Ball. We've all been there. We've all have known something's going on, but you don't really want to look at it too closely.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Very cool. And again, folks, all these tracks are available. You've got all the clickable links right down below. And let's face it, like I said before, share these links. When you find a cool artist, an indie artist or whatever, understand the reason you're friends with the friends that you're friends with is common interest. You guys all like the same thing, but there's always got to be the cool person in the group. And the cool person lets everybody else know, hey, I found the next big thing. Check this out. I discovered this person, and you might dig up. They probably, if you like them, they probably will. But you're now the party star. You got the inside track, baby. You got the inside track. So share. Hit that share. Add them to your playlist. I know all the kids today are making playlists. My wife does. And for you youngsters or whomever, I guess all ages do this, apparently. I don't know much about TikTok because I just found out. I'm such an old man. I told my wife, I'm like, her name's Danny. I'm like, Danny, I need to make a TikTok account. I can make a heart out of my hands and do one of those little dance a jig or something. And she's, Jamie, you have to use a cell phone to have a TikTok account. You can't do it on the computer. And I'm like, what are you talking about? You can't? And she's, no, and you don't have a phone. So no TikTok for you. And so I had to look this up. And she was right. She's always right. Can't have one. But I've listened. She's shown me, because she watches TikToks all the time. She's a little younger than me. And folks, don't get it twisted. The reason I don't have a phone isn't because I'm Mr. Cool and I don't want to support technology. No, phones cost $1,000 and I tend to set things down and walk off and leave them. And it took me 7 digital cameras when those were $1,000 a piece to figure out that. And I just am not good with that kind of stuff. That's why I don't have a phone. Plus, my wife's got one. I figure if the missiles are flying, she's going to get the message and tell me, get under the desk or the table or whatever. But I've listened to a lot of them because she's watching them all the time. She's like, check this out. And they all have music in the background. So if you like a band, you've discovered the next big thing, put them in your TikToks you're making. Get that out there. Movement is energy. And any artist, no matter what they're doing, they just want to connect. And they want the more people that hear their stuff or see their stuff. When you're fishing, what's the old adage? The more lines in the water, the more apt you are to catch a fish. So it's very important. All that stuff. I don't know how it works. People ask me, Jamie, how does the Spotify algorithm? I don't know. How does a 747 stay afloat? I don't know, technically. I have an idea, but I couldn't go build one. Bob, I am definitely one of those guys that you always see these time travel movies where the guy, I'm going to go back in time and invent all this stuff and be a gazillionaire. I wouldn't know how to invent anything. Nothing. I got a piece of hair on my mouth. See, I can't even do that. Anyway, yeah, I'd be out of luck. I would be out of luck. I'm like, just put it in the microwave. We don't have a microwave, Jamie. Here, let me make one. No idea. Ain't gonna happen. Don't rely on me. It's crazy. So the last song we're gonna play is the one we've been leading up to. The one we've been leading up to. Four Leaf Clover. Now, when you were a kid, my grandma, everywhere she walked, she was always looking down. I'm like, Grandma, what are you sad? What's going on? She goes, no, I'm looking for four leaf clovers. And she would find one every so often. We'd put it in a book, like in a Bible or something, a thick book. And she had a whole bunch of them. What inspired this? Or should we play it and then talk about it?
Yeah, sure. It's basically about wishing for good luck.
I gotcha.
What a four-leaf clover is supposed to do.
Yeah, and again, relatability. Bob, you've coined it. We've all been there. You ever had it so bad you start sounding like one of these guys in Las Vegas? You're like, it's got to pay off now. You know what I mean? I can't stop. It's got to pay. My luck's got to change. Yeah. Bad. Couldn't possibly continue. I've been there.
We all wish for good luck, that's for sure.
Absolutely. And it's cool when it shows up, because it doesn't just show up. It usually doesn't just show up in one thing. When you get on a good luck streak, it's a streak, baby. You're like, man, I'm the gold king. Everything I'm touching's turning to gold today.
Oh, yeah.
Until it doesn't. Oh, crazy. Here it is, everybody. This is Folk Indie Bob. This is called Four Leaf Clover. Check this out. And we're back. We're back. Looking for good luck. I hope you found it.
Yeah, let's hope. Hope everybody finds it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. This is a wild ride. Now, so if I'm reading between the lines correctly, and I could be totally wrong on this, you started hanging out with the songwriting circle and whatnot, and you said, okay, I'm going to record some of these things that I've been working on. And had you, so this wasn't like, okay, I just doing music from like age 12 or whatever till now. You had taken a little bit of a break in between there?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I took over 25 years off to do life. And I was in a band and everything when I met my wife. And she was a musician. And so we started doing other things, and I just got away from music and ended up really with no instruments left except my drums. And then, yeah, we had a nice marriage of almost 25 years. And then she passed about 3 years ago. And the first thing I did was set up my drums to deal with everything. It was very helpful and got into some new bands, and I got into playing jazz even. I was really into the drums again. But then quickly realized that, as I said before, it's hard to make music by yourself with drums, and people aren't always around or available. And I'm mostly retired, so I have a lot of free time for it. So I picked the guitar back up, and a lot of material started coming out. And that's pretty much my story, how I got here. I've got over 40 songs now. I've got a 3-hour live show, and yeah, it's all original, and I'm kind of proud of it.
Oh,
the,
as you should
quality
be.
And quantity. Somehow these songs keep coming out. So
that's amazing. That's
I don't know where they come from, but yeah.
It's a couple things in that really interests me. I live in South Florida. The biggest demographic here, it seems, is that I've noticed since moving here, is people of a certain age. Everybody comes here to retire. And we don't have snow. We don't have seasons. It's fall and winter when the license plates change. Start seeing a lot of New York and Pennsylvania license plates. And so everybody's down here. But a lot of people have a very similar story to what you experienced. I know so many people that life happened. Kids, yeah. Thing, and they wanted to be a singer-songwriter. My father-in-law is exactly that. Suddenly had a bunch of babies, and he had to get an engineering degree to. And they were all girls. They were all girls. So and everybody's, what does that mean, Jamie? What are you being one of these guys? No. What having a bunch of girls means, braces, eyeglasses, ballet lessons. If you're real unlucky, ponies, they all,
yeah.
Ponies are expensive, more expensive than a boat sometimes.
Yeah, unfortunate, not really time and age, but through everything that happened, I was able to.
Well, now.
Almost full time. And so yeah. I still have the energy, and I'm able to get out there and go for God knows how long, but I'm doing it now.
That's where he's at now. He's got his man cave and a very nice house.
Yeah.
And there's 7 guitars on stands hanging on the wall. You know what I mean? Every so often take one down. Usually when there's a get together at their house or something, he'll perform a little bit for everybody. And it's just great to see. Your story, I hope, for our local listener, it really inspires people. Because now you reach a certain age, you got maybe, hopefully, a little more, a couple coins in your pocket to when you're 18, everybody's broke. Nobody has any money for anything, let alone guitar strings or chords or any of that kind of stuff, which guitar players always seem to break for some reason. I get it. You're showing off. You're trying to impress a gal. I get it. But no. And the other thing in your story that you were saying is working, doing your art through your grief. And I personally, that's my game. That's what I do. People have looked at my website and said, man, 2015, you were just on such a roll. You painted 470 paintings that year.
Yeah.
And what they don't know is that's the year my father passed. And that was a year for me, you know what I mean? And that's how
it's probably what happened to me too. Yeah, you've got this well of basically grief, and it can be very inspiring. And I look at it as, well, maybe something good came out of it, at least.
The last gift.
I would have never been in this position if I hadn't had the grief that I've had.
Yeah, she did. She left you that gift. And I've never experienced, I've lost family, I've lost friends and whatnot. But your honey, that's got to be a hard one.
Yeah, that's hard. I'm rebuilding my identity, though, because when you're married for a long time, you lose your identity in the marriage.
Yeah, you become a couple.
But I don't want to be that guy that lost his wife. That's my story, but I'm trying to find Bob again and move forward and get back to who I am as an individual rather than...
That's cool.
Yeah, I'm working on that. I'm making good progress. It's taking years, but...
I think that's an achievable goal, and I think it doesn't diminish the period leading up to it.
We had a great marriage, and it was something to be proud of.
That's you can do. That's all you can do. But it's great as an artist that you've found some sort of something, solace, whatever it is, and inspiration to help you to light that tunnel out of a very dark place. And
yeah, I wasn't even doing it to be heard. I was just doing it in my little room. And that's what was coming out. That's how I chose to spend my time. And it did it for me initially, but now it's fun to try to enjoy what I'm doing. And that to me is a fun challenge, and people seem to be responding.
Absolutely. I did. You got a new fan here. I grief and depression. One of the insidious things that very few people talk about is it can be, and it's easy to get into this, quicksand. Stuck in it, it's hard to get out of. And we've all heard the tales of family members or people we've known, something terrible happens and they can't get out of it. They can't shake out of it. And by shaking out, I don't mean to imply that they forget or have any disrespect for what led to that, but it's such a pleasant thing to see someone be able to get, because it gives people that are getting into that a little hope.
I hope that happens. I hope other people can see that I've moved forward. It certainly wasn't easy, and it's, like I said, taking a period of years. You have to think in terms of years, not months or anything. I was pretty down and coming back up. So yes,
you seem like a real cool guy, Bob. You seem real cool, and that gives me hope, because in everybody's life, you come to a point where you realize there's more train tracks behind you than ahead of you. You know what I mean? And that's just life.
You gotta keep.
That's amazing. I'm very inspired. I love your art. I love your music. It's really cool. I noticed on your website, when you go to it, folks, this is a great website. You guys have all heard me complain about websites. All of my weird artsy friends have terrible websites, Bob. I'm like, where's the music at? Did you give you see the tree and there's a monkey and did you move the banana? I'm like, no, I'm not doing all that. I just want to hear the song. I'm an old man. Give me a break. Throw me a bone. Yeah. Throw me a banana. Yours has none of that. It's one page. I love that idea. I think that is just brilliant. And one of the things is you have a calendar where you're going to be playing, what time you're going to be playing. And I think that's cool. You click on the little, if the square is blue, you click on it and it gives you all the information right there. What more you need? This is fantastic, Bob.
Thank you.
Whoever built that, buy them a cup of coffee next time.
That is my lady that I hired, actually. But we're more kind of friends now a little, and but they've gotten to be working together quite a bit. Her name is Robin Stanton, and she is in Pittsburgh also. She runs the Rising Star Talent Agency. So I'll give a shout out to Robin.
Yeah.
And she's been doing media for me and some promotion and trying to find me gigs, and we all work together on that stuff.
Well, it's
behind that website, and it was a chore going back and forth, and I thought I was going to lose it for a while because of all the changes I was making, but she stuck it out, and I think it paid off.
Yeah, it's a great website. I love the simplicity of that. I'm telling you, I am jealous of this a lot. We're talking about quicksand. Making a website can be a lot of quicksand.
Oh, my God. Yeah, we went back and forth forever.
I have done that with mine where I need a spinning globe. Yeah, I need a spinning globe. And where all the guests from the radio show are from, little pins in it. No, yeah. I don't. You don't need that, Jamie. What is wrong with you? You and your gadgets. Settle down. Settle down. Look at Bob's website. It's fantastic. So three cheers for Robin. She knows what the hell she's doing. I'll tell you that. Very, very cool. I love it. I love it. But the point is, you're playing a ton. You got more gigs going on than most people, 18-year-olds I know.
Things are happening. It takes a lot of time in the pavement, and it takes up a lot of my time trying to find places to play. But so
you know what helps?
When I actually call me up, which I'm hoping that changes to more frequent.
That will definitely change.
Right now, it's a lot of work to find these places.
I've known a lot of venue owners, and a lot in my time. Before I was married, Bob, I spent about 3 decades hanging out in nightclubs. Not because I'm cool, everybody, because that's where the people that buy my paintings were hanging out. That's why I was there. Anyway, if you want to catch fish, go to where the fish are. That's my advice. But the point is, I've known a lot of venue owners. And one of the best things you can have when you go in to talk to a venue owner is a track record. Look at all the places I've played and what I've done. I'm playing again.
You get better at talking to them about it. Shit down, and you just learn how to do it. It's another skill that I didn't plan to have, but I have to have it. I can't just rely on Robin, and she doesn't have time.
That's part of the business now. Ever since Napster, everybody's got all these musicians, all these indie artists. They got to post on Instagram. They got to do all this stuff. It's
right. I don't mind. I'm enjoying all the people I've met. It's wonderful people all over the country, really. And that's been the bright side of it. But
I don't know if you know.
The legwork is tough.
I'll tell you, Bob. I don't know if you know this. I tell everybody my advice. I don't care what business you're in, what art you're making. People ask me, and I tell them. I said, the skill you need in your deck of cards in your hand is called what I call being a good hang. Bob's a good hang. That's why people want to hang out with him.
It's great when you build a relationship with an owner and they want you to keep coming back. Starting to develop this.
That's fantastic to hear. He's got it. That's the secret, kids. That's the secret. If you go in there acting all like a rock god or something, and you haven't earned that.
Yeah, I'm old for that.
Most of the people who do act that way aren't.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. When I was first starting out with this podcast, I had a guest on. I didn't know the guy. But he starts, first thing he says, I hate to throw around the term rock star. And I'm like, okay, let's don't. Have a great night, everybody. Have a good one. And I just ended it right there because I'm like, I'm not going to sit and listen to that.
My personality, so.
I had one day in my life where I was doing pretty good. I was making money. I got a big check to always drink a certain type of water. I thought things were going pretty good for my game. And I met up with an old friend, and he's OG. He was a punk rocker in the 70s. He's old school. And he's a folk indie artist these days, but he was a great friend, him and his wife. It's a weird thing. They're in Hollywood, and him and his wife been together, I think, since 1977. That's very strange for Hollywood, but just great people. And I was being very grand that night. My head had gotten big with all the success that was happening currently. No, folks, don't get it wrong. I was not buying houses in Malibu or anything like that, but I was doing okay for a kid in San Diego. I was on the news. Things were happening. But I was being very grand, and it took me, his wife called me. She goes, hey, I don't want to say his name, but he wants to talk to you. I'm like, yeah, of course. And he said, you've turned into one of those people, Jamie.
Yeah.
Do you remember what you said to that waitress last night?
Oh, boy.
I said, no, what are you talking about? You don't remember saying, do you know who I am?
Oh, yes.
And I said, and it's the only time in my life, and I tried to blame it because I'd had a few cocktails that night. I tried to blame it on drinking. When it was just me being a jerk, that's the reality. That's who I should have blamed it on. But I went to an AA meeting. So I got to go get off the phone and looked up where the local AA meeting was and went and listened to some of those guys' and gals' tales of woe. And I'm going, ooh, this could be way worse. This could be way worse. They had way worse stories than mine. And I got it together. So I was a jerk for one day, and then I got out of it. Not saying I've never been a jerk since, folks. We get it. I'm a work in progress. But that was, I didn't just change my course. It was a 180-degree change. You know what I mean? I said, I don't want to be that person.
Yeah, I'm always very grateful when somebody wants to hear me play. So.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's not going to happen with me, honestly.
Absolutely. What'll probably, my predictions, you'll probably start getting a lot of corporate party deals and whatnot, where these people are like, hey, we're having a Christmas party or something. We got to get you in there or something. Because you just, it's sophisticated indie pop and it's really smart too.
Good background music I found too. Like I do some art festivals and the vendors love it because I'm not too loud. And it's also, the customers like it. It just adds atmosphere and yeah.
That crowd, you know, I could definitely see it like these fancy wine bars and stuff that these people go to. Definitely these expensive craft beer places, these breweries, I could see it there.
Yeah, that should come about some, here and there. But the one thing is, though, I really don't do cover songs.
They always want those because it's
music. And yeah. I'm sticking to that. I'm sorry. That's what I do. There's plenty of people out there for that, and you can go, and that's where the money is, actually.
I think it is too, but
I want to do my own thing.
The artistic respect is the way you're doing it, because I hear that, and I'm going, yeah, this is the real deal, guy. You know what I mean?
It's not from a place of arrogance. It's more from a place of boredom, where I would be very bored copying other people's music.
Well,
I'm only excited about coming up with something new that nobody's ever heard. That's where I come from. It's not that I'm so arrogant that, oh, my stuff's so good that you have to accept it. It's more like I just get bored when I try to copy anything.
And it's got to be spot on, otherwise people get upset. You didn't play Journey the right way. I played it
Tons of guys that are way better musicians than me out there that do that very well, and they make a lot of money at it.
And God bless them.
Yeah, that's got... That's a big business, and I just am running for that.
Well, and you know how it is, Bob. Too, you do this for a little bit, and then everybody has an opinion. But you know what you ought to paint, Jamie? You should really focus on more lighthouses. And I painted a lighthouse just to prove that I can show it. And go, I can paint a lighthouse. Understand? I painted one for a reason. I don't want to paint one. It's not my thing. And there's nothing wrong with people who paint. Thomas Kincaid got very wealthy painting that kind of stuff, little villages and shit.
I couldn't do that. Thomas Kincaid, he didn't go out there copying everybody else. He came up with his style and presented it.
Played the game.
You know, where the chips fall, they fall. Presenting myself.
I couldn't do it, Bob. I would paint a village and have to put a UFO or something in the sky.
That's your style. Yeah.
Nobody wants to see that. This is a great tranquil scene. Why are there dogs fighting over a bone in the corner? What is that about?
Hey.
I'm like, yeah, it's a human femur. Nobody wants that. Anyhow. Bob, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show today. You are awesome. And continued success. Have a great holiday. And let's circle back around in a couple months in the spring or something, and I'll see what you've got going on, and because I want to hear more. I'm selfish.
Sounds great. Yeah, I'm hoping to get back in the studio here over the winter and see how it goes.
Absolutely. We'll see you soon. And folks, thank you for tuning in or listening. However, if you're watching this, great. If you're listening, great. We really appreciate it. Be sure to check out our sponsors, our advertisers and whatnot. The internet works in a trickle-down economy. If you support them, why? They support me. It trickles down to me eventually. You know what I mean? And We don't have to do the show by candlelight. It'll be great. We're okay, folks. Have a good one. Remember, the world's weird. Be patient. Be kind. You never know what somebody's going through. And if you're flying, lay off the booze. That's my old man advice to everybody. Don't wind up in one of these Karen videos. They're hilarious, I know. But you don't want to be that person. You really don't. My advice. Save the drinking to when you get to your destination. That's the key there. Have yourself a good nap and you're fresh from when you to do whatever it is you're doing. We'll see you next time, everybody. Yeah, don't be the person who ruins Thanksgiving because you're in the pokey because you got lit on the plane. Come on. You can't be. Nobody wants that grandma story. Keep it together. Anyway, we'll see you next time, everybody. Have a good one.
This has been pop art painter Jamie Rocks's Pop Rocks Radio Talk Show. It has been executive produced by Jamie Rocks, recorded at his studio in Deerfield Beach in South Florida. All rights reserved by Pop Rocks Limited.
Hola, Oli, Pop Rocks Radio. Estás escuchando Jamie Rocks de Pop Rocks Radio. Manténganse al tanto.
Hej, det här är Hicks från Sverige och ni lyssnar till Pop Rocks Radio med Jamie Rocks.